good singing, Jay. Raise everybody. Thirsty land. Amen. Want the courage to believe, to hold request in your heart. If you look unto Him, our precious Lord Jesus, this evening. We also have a written request on behalf of Brother Simon, requesting prayer for his little daughter Joy, who is suffering with the virus. We know we're in a very needy time that we are living in. We all are looking forward for God to do something for us in our homes, in our own lives, in the house of God, even for our children, holding the token with unwavering faith, believing that God is true to His promise. My, how we should believe when we come and gather in His presence like this and gather together with believers of like precious faith, knowing if two shall agree as in touching anything, it shall be done. God have given us a great privilege to believe. Not everyone could believe. Many disbelieve. Many make believe. But because of that deposit of eternal life, we can believe. We can reach out with faith and touch Him who is present amongst us. For He said, with two or three is gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. Which one of us would want to doubt He is present in the midst of His believing children? To doubt that, we would have to make Him a liar. We'd have to make Him one who gives a promise and does not keep it. But we know He keeps all His promises. Then how we should be encouraged to believe, knowing that He knows what we have need of, even before we ask. But our asking is an expression of our faith. He says the reason you don't receive many times because you don't ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the opportunity that we can stand in your divine presence this evening. Lord, you gave us health and strength. You brought us safely into your house. And here we are gathered in your house, in your divine presence. And Lord, we want to acknowledge this. By grace, you've given us another opportunity to come, Lord, and to worship you. We want to worship you with all our hearts this evening. God, especially as we come in your house, knowing that today we are going to observe the commandment that you've given unto us, to keep the Lord's Supper. And knowing, Lord, it is a memorial feast where we can come and remember you, how you laid on your life for us, Lord. Wretched and deserving vile sinners. It's even written in your word that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We sang this song a little while ago. We shall forever lift our eyes to Calvary and view the cross where Jesus bled and died for us. To know, Lord, that greater love hath no man than that, the man who laid down his life for his friends. The greatest expression of love that we could think of. Lord, when you took our place, you became sin that we can become the very righteousness of God. You bow our hearts in your presence, Lord. Lord, we want to confess our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures. Lord, where we sin in thought, in word, and in deed. Where we didn't act the way you expected us to act, Lord. Where we didn't speak on your behalf and the way you expect us to speak. Lord, in the thoughts that we may have entertained that was not pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Knowing that you said our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words on earth. Oh, gracious God. Where we might have manifested some attitude, Lord, that was not pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would blot out all transgressions. May you apply your precious blood to it, Lord, as we confess it this evening. And gracious God, even as we stand here knowing that you have many needs in the midst of your people, you said, Lord, ask and it shall be given. If you ask for bread, you wouldn't get a stone. If we ask for a fish, you wouldn't get a serpent, Lord. If we could ask that our joys may be full. Lord, we don't want to stand here with condemnation, knowing that true confession and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of your precious blood that speaketh better things, because of the invitation you have given us, Lord, to come and place our sins, our confessed sins in that blood. Lord, we don't want to stand here with condemnation this evening, because that would be frustrating your very grace, Lord. You said, come boldly before your throne of grace. Lord, we look into our very own hearts at this time, standing in your presence. And then, Lord, we look to that open fountain of grace, which is greater than our hearts. For that is what your word says, Lord. If our hearts condemn us, you are greater than our hearts. Lord, we know we are needy. And if we walk away from this function, this opportunity that you have given unto us, where else can we go to be free and to rid ourselves from this sin, Lord, and this condemnation? There is not another place, Father. Our feeling sorry for ourselves, Lord, our wishing that something would happen that would make us forget what we have done, all those things, Lord, would not work because it's not mind over matter or positive thinking, but it's recognizing the grace of God and the provision that you have made, and knowing that God is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Your arm is not short that it cannot save, neither is your head deaf that it cannot hear. So Lord, we have faith. We place our faith in your finished work. We exercise your faith, Lord, by coming and confessing our unworthiness. Hallelujah. Blessed be your wonderful name. And we ask now with faith, dear God, that you would meet every need that is in the midst of your people upon the basis of your shed blood and your finished work, Father. God, may you move in the midst of your people, lifting every burden. May the Spirit of the living God strengthen the weak. Lord God, may you lift them up, Lord, that are all burdened down, Lord. May, Lord, faith rise up in the hearts of your children. May, dear God, when it seems so dark, may the light shine in. May they not be in despair, may they not be cast down, Lord. May they know, dear God, that you are here present. And that blood is as fresh as it ever was. And it's not some psychology, Lord, but it's a living reality. Hallelujah. Whether it's a financial need, Lord, or a domestic need, whether it's a spiritual problem this evening, Lord, whatever it is, may the Spirit of faith move into the hearts of your upon what you have done for us. And as we believe and draw with the faith that you have given unto us through your divine promise, Lord, may it change our situation. May our scene be changed, Lord. Oh God, may it bring everything under our feet. Hallelujah. Lord, as we would worship you this evening in your house, as we would sing your praises, we will know that there is a power in praising God. We will know that there is a power in thanking you, Lord. We will know there is a power in praying unto you. We will know that there is a power in your word. That faith, Lord, can charge that power. And we can see, Lord, whatever we are believing for being made manifest. For it is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. 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 Glory and praise be unto your name, Lord. Oh God, may the hearts of your people take a firm grip upon your promise, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, your covenant keeping God. We thank you that your word is true. It's impossible, Lord God, for it not to come to pass. When faith exercises, Lord,
in that word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray there'll be such an atmosphere of your divine presence sweep through this place this evening. And that the nearness of your presence and that the reality of your word in the midst of your people that is gathered together here, Lord, would cause them to believe with a greater passion, with a greater faith in the promises that you have made. Lead us and direct us according to your perfect will in this service. May the Spirit of the living God, Lord, remember us all from the greatest release. We have supreme confidence that thou knowest what we have need of, and that thou carest for us. And it is your desire, your intense burning desire, to see us have the victory, to see us live in victory, because that is your achievement, Father. That is why you died and suffered, that your church will rise again one day. Hallelujah! And will reign with you supreme. Glory be to God in the highest. Heaven will pass away, but that will never fail. Hallelujah. And God, what a comfort it is to know that your Holy Spirit here is present, working to bring that to pass in the hearts of them that you have called in this hour. Glory be to God. Father, we submit ourselves to your divine will. May your Spirit just lead and guide us and deal with us, Lord, as you see fit. We thank you and we praise you for these things, Father, in the precious, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we lift our hands and praise him, give him glory, for he is worthy. May we recognize his presence. May we acknowledge him with our praise. Hallelujah. May we truly remember him, not when we just when we come to break the bread, but may we remember him that he rose triumphantly. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy, 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 Lamb of God. But thou hast slain to receive power. Thou hast opened that book and loosed those seven seals. Hallelujah. That is why we are here. That is why we are gathered this evening, Lord. That is why we can sing your praises. That is why we can expect, Lord, to be filled with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful Savior. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Touch the sick and heal them now. Even a little joy, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray you break the chains of the enemy. May the Spirit of the living God lift up your eagles, Lord, with your great wings of power and deliverance. May the love of God be shed abroad in the hearts of your people. May this place be filled with your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ask for it, Lord God, you believe it. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Let's just have our seats. I want to welcome everyone in the house of God and to service, and really appreciate everyone that could be out in spite of the weather. And we come and we want to observe the Lord's Supper this evening. That's why we change the service from the morning to the afternoon, so we can have the Lord's Supper, because we know if we cannot really take the Lord's Supper in the morning or midday, but the Lord's Supper must be taken in the evening. That's why it's called Supper. Amen. And
since the curfew have been extended to 9 in the night, then we thought it would be good. We shift one of the services and then come and be able to gather together and break bread and wash one another's feet. Because we are thankful that we can gather together. Do you feel that in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. And I believe if His love is being shed abroad in our hearts, and the prophet says, when iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold, the only place you will find real love is among the elect of God. And when we can find real love in the house of God, among the elect of God, in the economy of God, then by this love shall all men know you are my disciples, and what a responsibility we have, what a commitment we have to one another, to bear one another burdens, to think on the things of others. Amen. And knowing that we are all impressed. If we are not all impressed, I trust we become that way. I trust the world will be so directed by the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts in such a manner that when we leave here, we will have that kind of feeling one for the other. Amen. And when we come to have this memorial feast, it's a memorial feast because the Bible says, it's the only place where Jesus said, remember me. Amen. We always want Him to remember us. But He also wants to be remembered by us. So He says, remember me. And we want to remember Him that He suffered and died for us. And if we remember Him in that way, it always reminds us of how unworthy we are and what it took to deliver us from the conditions we were delivered in. And what is pleasing in His sight is when we would love one another as He loved us. And that His love, His truth, is being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit reveals His love to us through His Word. Because how do we know of His love? His Word expresses it to us. It shows way before the foundation of the world. It was already settled in the mind of God. The Lamb was slain way back there. We were chosen way back there. And give Him a place in His kingdom. And He made it so secure that under no circumstances your name could be blotted out of that book. Amen. Glory be to God if you are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's a tremendous thing when you think of it, because here we are gathered together to hear His word. And as we hear His word, those seven seals, that plan of that seal up this book, that plan of redemption, as it's been made known to us, we truly can see how He loves us, and His Spirit sheds abroad His love, amen, in our hearts. And that love takes all fears and doubts out. You see, that's the reason the seven seals have to be open, to take the fears and the doubts out of the people, and perfect love casts out all fear. Because the Holy Spirit comes. It's the Spirit of truth. How do we know the Holy Spirit? Because it speaks the truth. It leads us and guides us into the truth. And Jesus is that truth. Amen. It makes Him known to us. And when we see that, it brings such a desire in our hearts to serve Him, to live for Him, to love one another. Amen. As He loved us. And I trust it would be that way. More and more as we hear His word, it would be feasting on the love of God. As the song says, all things are ready, come to the feast. Feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. So Matthew 20, I want to get there again. I missed out last week. And to sort of speak, I guess I will have to be backgrounding a lot. And I would like to refresh our minds with this first scripture reading. Just read here to start. And see how quickly we can get through and how much we can get across by the grace of God. In Matthew 20, we took that the second week when we started our series on the seal of God in the mark of the beast, which we believe is so relevant to this present time and is a very in-depth subject that could take months and months. But we just thought at this time, with the present events and things that's happening, and it is so timely for us. So Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that had an householder, that is an householder, who went out early in the morning to
to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall you receive. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, or give them their wages, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise receive every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the householder, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who had borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? See? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, as we endeavor to approach these divinely revealed mystery truths, Lord, how we pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken the word and may bring such life to our hearts. Not just like a little study, Lord, or a little lesson that we can learn, or a little type that we can understand. But the energizing words striking our souls with such impact of revelation, Lord, would move us into this sphere where we can live with such inspiration of faith in this hour. Seeing what your program is and how the Spirit of the living God is working with us to fulfill that program in our lives. That is where we want it to be, Father. We ask that you would just so give the inspiration that the word could be presented to us in the manner in which it could bring real faith to our hearts. Faith that will cause us to overcome. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have your seats. When we started this series 3 weeks ago, I took the first service on the seal of the living God, and we were sticking for the subject, the sealed book and the sealed bride. And then we came the second week and we had the calling and the sealing of the 11th hour Gentile workers. And then last week we really used up the time speaking about the things that is happening, because it's all relevant to the message we are trying to bring. But we paid more emphasis to the things that are happening presently and how we believe it is going to affect the church in this hour. But now we want to look back in a little more into the teaching that we are looking at here, because these things were spoken specifically for this hour and this last day. And that's what we are trying to bring, and depending upon God for the inspiration. Because the word, we can speak the word, we can talk about the word, we can exchange ideas about the word, and
We can read the word, but until the Spirit of God do energize that word and strike it with revelation in our hearts, it will just be the letter, and the letter kill it. But the Spirit, when the Spirit can come into that word and energize it and give it life, it creates a faith that we can move out under the inspiration of the word and see the word made manifest. And I believe that that is what in every age the people who sat under the influence of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was quickening to them the word that held the revelation of what God was doing in their age, when that word was quickened to them, it pushed them out there and they changed the course of history. They rewrote the thing. Amen. They went out there and they achieved things. The Bible said people that know that God did great exploits. When the apostles realized that Elijah had come and the Son of Man was revealed, when they knew that destruction was coming upon Jerusalem, when they felt the burden and they was compelled to warn every man of coming judgment, when they saw the armies and these things gathering, when they saw the church slumbering and being wrapped up in politics, when they saw the oppression of the Roman government becoming stronger, let me tell you, it brought such boldness inside of them to preach the gospel that they went forth, that the Roman power, the persecution of the churches, couldn't beat it out to them. It didn't have no among the fear that they're going to put upon them to drive them back and hold them down. The Spirit that was working in the midst of the church gave them such power that it pushed them outside there. They was willing to seal the testimony with their own blood. And you know that the word energized in the hearts of the people, it does that. It makes them behave different. It gives them boldness. It gives them courage. It gives them power. It makes them persistent. It takes away complaining. It takes away confusion. Amen. It takes away fear. And that is what you look for. Because that's what the word becoming spirit and life in the people will do for them. I think many a time we miss the emphasis. We get into an atmosphere of our intellectual sphere of the message, of what we learn and what we know. And how many of us can quote John 14, but how many can manifest John 14, 12? That's where the line is drawn. How many of us know Mark 16 and can quote it, but how many of us have faith to see Mark 16? Amen. And that is the difference right there. And that's why the real believer, you don't get satisfied with the intellectual knowledge of the word. There's a hunger that pushes you out there to see the God of that word become real. To see the God of that word come alive in your life. That's why, you know, you examine your life. Am I just going to church? Am I just, you know, knowledgeable of the message? Am I just friendly with a few of the people? Does that satisfy me? A real believer to question themselves, they examine themselves. Is that what I'm born for? Is this my Christianity? Is this the bride ministry? Because a real believer knows they're born for something in this world more than that. I don't say maybe for a little season you go along and you get kind of cold, or maybe you get studious, or maybe you do different things, but I'm saying you don't stay there. I'm saying you want to see that word become flesh inside of you. You want to see your flesh become that word. You want to be that written epistle. Amen. You want that word. You have such a passion that drives you and compels you. You will not rest until you and that word become one. That is what a revelation does to a man. When real revelation strikes the soul of the man, it puts him into action. It throws him out here. Amen. And that's what you look for in people. Amen. See people who are prisoners in the chains of the revelation. Amen. It is the life. It is the meat. It is the drink. They have eaten the flesh and they have drunk the blood of the Son of Man. Amen. Hallelujah. They walk like Him. They act like Him. They live like Him. They talk like Him. They are about their Father's business.
because the sap of that tree, amen, was put into them. I know they could bear that kind of fruit. Hallelujah! Amen. That a blood transfusion. Their whole life was emptied out. Beaten out to the cross. Where his blood was shed. They emptied out themselves of the old nature and the old things of the world. Because they saw something greater to live for. They saw one who teach them how to die. Who teach them how to live on their lives. That they could raise it up again in power. Amen. Calvary wasn't just a little church story. It wasn't just some little mental picture to get in the mind of a dying man on the cross. It's a revelation of this that have burnt it into the soul. Amen. That bring them to a place like Paul says, never, I don't live. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. But I die daily. But he kept looking at his own life. He kept inspecting his own life. He said, I pull on every struggle and bring every thought into the captivity. Amen. Because the weapons of my warfare is the carnal. I don't want to fight this one beating me out. So I want to be a trained soldier. I don't want to be running out there and trying to set up blows and ain't doing the enemy nothing with it. When I hit a blow, it might be in a place that could cripple the enemy. It could bring him down and pull down the stronghold. I might have to take a few licks before I get inside of the air. But I want to be able to take some. Amen. I don't want to be able to dish it out and can't take it. I'm going to take it to amen. Hallelujah. Don't slay me yet. I'll trust him. Want to stand right there. That is where a real believer find themselves. They come face to face with this. It's a challenge. Christianity is a challenge. You know, just coming to church and going back and out. But as men and women, God are predestined in this hour, amen, to manifest his word. The Holy Spirit knew before they can manifest that word, you have to put that word in their heart. You have to teach them that word. You have to train them in that word. You have to bring them under the leadership of his Holy Spirit. You have to get the word out to them, get all self tired out. Then you're going to use them, amen, to manifest his word. And that is what God has been doing. When the believer examines their life and they become satisfied, Lord, it was hard. Look what you had to do to take it out of me. Look what you had to do to break that for me. Look what you had to do to convince me, not just a superficial understanding, but to convince me that my life is coping now. There's no reasoning, there's no imagination. There's one way. Amen. When that desire comes into your own heart, that is for every individual, that desire that comes into you, that you want to see that power come back in the church. It's your desire to see it like Samson. How come I'm living this way? How come the Philistines are laughing at me? How come they're running up here and down? How come I can just stand up here and tell all kind of stories about lion and 1,000 Philistines to get to Gaza? I don't even have a past testimony. But he couldn't live in that atmosphere. He said, if I'm the same Samson, and God is still the same God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I ain't to be in chains here. And if we are the same kind of believers and God is still the same God and we have the same kind of message, something ought to give. What happens is people become satisfied with less. You know why they come satisfied with less? The challenge demands of them to pay a greater price. And the flesh is in the way. And the human spirit is in the way. And they have become so soft and settled down to enjoying that type of little social religious life. That when it seems to rise up and make a change and dig deeper and press harder, it seems difficult to come. And because they don't fall from the sky and come easy, they stay in that condition and they put these things off in the future somewhere. But where a soul is hungry, where a soul has tasted the power of God, where a soul knows that God is real, where a soul knows that there's a reality for more of God, even more than what you have right now, sitting in that seat, and you can come in a service, and knowing that service I can leave with more, you come with that kind of desperation. You come with that kind of determination. Amen. Because it's real to you. It's not a joke. It's not playing. The Bible don't lose its effect. Satan don't disarm your mind from what your weapon is. You know God created heaven by his word.
You know that that word is in this Bible here. Laying here is a revelation. Because a man came, got a revelation of that word, got a revelation of who he was, and spoke truth into existence. The same power that set the sun, same power that created the earth, was manifested in the woods that day. Is that right? Amen. Exactly right. If that is revealing spirit, why did God do it? Is that a promise for this hour? Does God really want to do that? Is the church really going to stand this hour and show forth his victory? Am I part of that church, Lord? Is my soul part of this word for this hour? Amen. I want to know. I don't just want to go along. No. I want to know. I want to face it, Lord. Amen. Glory. Then when God put things out there for you to see and you see it happening, I mean, you can't see it and then go back the same way. When they saw John the Baptist, they was looking for Messiah. When they saw Messiah, they knew the Holy Ghost was coming. When they saw Titus get on Jerusalem, they know destruction was coming. Sure, when Paul see the Gentiles coming to Jewish field, he know they are doing finish and it's time for the Gentiles. God put things outside here in your environment, brother, that when you begin to see it, let me tell you, it burns down into your heart. It tells you what time it is. And you can never behave the same way from before. It changes the behavior. It influences you. You have to go to work 8 o'clock in the morning, go to school 8 o'clock in the morning, and you get up and you see 10 to 8, and you go back down and lie back down to sleep. From there you see that clock and them 2 hands and you rub your eyes. That's your time. You mean that time flies faster, but you're out the bed and you're getting ready to go. You may have to leave your tea and leave your food or whatever it is and take off. Especially if you know that your last chance is passing your by to get a transportation or something. Well, even in the natural, you can move like that. Amen. Hallelujah. What about when you see the word of God coming to pass, telling you the hour? Let me know, put on your running shoes and you get going. You don't waste time because you've seen what you've seen. You know, is that an illusion? You know, the reality standing out here. It's been spoken in the Bible. It's been made manifest. It identifies the hour. You rise up and you get going, brother. Amen. And that's why, you know, you look there and you watch the behavior. You watch where people are drawing the inspiration from. You see what they're confronted with. Sometimes people can give us a good description of what they're confronted with. And you guys know, okay, if you're so sure where they're confronted now, what you pulling to deal with that now? You just back up in a corner with showing that you have a good knowledge of what you're faced with. See? I don't want to know too much of what description we could give of what we're faced with. I want we to also know there's something to deal with whatever we are faced with. Amen. Because it's telling you, the doctors have a brain tumor, and that brain tumor comes, I like too much of sugar, and you do some so, and my grandfather's a man, an alcoholic, and this, and that, and the other, and you know, come down here, there's no medical reason for this, and you know, all kind of different things. I don't want to know all the description of the problem. I want to know John 14, 12, Mark 16, amen. Say, God will deal with that. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we pull up ourselves with the wrong knowledge and get overbalanced. We pull up ourselves with the knowledge of negative things and get overpowered with only negative. Amen. Glory be to God. I think, brother, we should know that God, how powerful God, how real God is. How much God loves us and God wants to remove them things. How much God wants us to exercise in his word. That's why he preserved that word and put it there for us. Amen. I think many times sometimes all it takes is a change of attitude. Change of seeing the situation. Amen. It makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Glory. And we can see right from Jesus teaching Matthew 20, talking about this household as we were sticking the last time. You know, Jesus was such a man. So, you know, you're so one with God, one with the Word. He was the Word. He was God in the flesh. Amen. And he did everything by inspiration. He didn't do that reasoning, by inspiration. Amen. And that's how God made a believer to move. Because you are chipped on the same rock. Amen. You are part of Him. Amen. And then you begin to see situations, you begin to see things happen. And here he was, you know, he saw the promise. And he was laying in a message here on the promise of the hour. How at the evening time, the fullness of his grace was going to be made known. Amen. Glory. He asked him, he said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? You mean he said, the reason I do that and give them the same penny, I want to show sufferingly. I look at how much work they're doing. You're paying up on how much work you're doing. It's mine, and I want to give you that. And I call you there to give you that. I want to give it to you, amen. And I'm not even going to spend time with ideas and differences. Amen. My own, and I give it to who I want to give it to. Amen. See, sometimes we look at what that person deserves that, or what that person don't deserve that, or what that person deserves this. And you know, right here in the story, it says, well, how come they're going to do it? We do more than them and they do less than us. He purposely do that. He had a season those workers didn't even know what they were going to get. They said, no, okay, get something. He said, whatever is right, I'll give to you. They wasn't fully aware of the promise of what they was going to get. Oh, they was in the field and they was working. Amen. Doing a lot of things in the field, but they didn't really know the fullness of his thoughts that he was thinking towards them. Not until his servant come in the evening time when the Lord of the harvest, the vineyard, sent his steward. Not until he commissioned that steward to go specifically to the 11th hour Gentiles in the evening time. Because the Bible says, so when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And sent here to bring this message to tell you, this is the hour you shall receive exactly what the early fathers received. Amen.
Amen.
What a promise it was. Amen. As I said the last time, what a joy it must have been when that steward, because the more the steward here, the Lord of the vineyard speaks him, and the more he was understanding himself. You understand that? Because he was getting the revelation first. He knew the Lord he was serving. And now the mystery of that grace. Amen. The sovereign grace of God. More than what we deserve. Amen. God, rich in mercy. He said, go and tell them. Amen. Give them the same penny. Oh my. When he heard that evening message. Amen. The setting of the sun. It was a long day had passed. And it was at the end of the day now. And those who was called was fixing to receive the reward. Amen. And here it was, he began to announce to them. And you know, we can see from this teaching that Jesus was showing that there was going to be a definite move of the Holy Ghost in the last hour of the day. There's going to be a messenger come forward in the last hour of the day. And that messenger is going to have a message, amen, revealing the sovereign grace of God to the 11th hour workers, the ones who came in the last hour of the day. Amen. He will begin with them. The thing will start with them. Amen. Glory. And what? And here, we notice after the 11th hour was called, there was no more calling. The calling had ceased. He was calling all down through in the early in the morning. In the third hour, in the sixth hour, in the ninth hour, he was calling. Then he came and he was still calling in the 11th hour. But after he called them, there was no more calling. The calling had ceased. He was going to seal them up now. He's going to give them the same penny. Amen. So after the 11th hour workers were called, there was no more workers going to be called. Let me tell you, friends, one of these days it'll all be over. It can all be over already. We don't know. We are believing it's not over yet. We are still trusting the grace of God. We are still believing for our loved ones. We are still thinking that God is long-suffering. Amen. But that door is going to swing shut. And when that door swings shut, he that is filthy will be filthy still. That is why you want to know in this hour. Jesus spoke it. He spoke it right here. He was not thinking about calling no more. He was thinking about paying them the higher now. Amen. Yeah, time is looking for them. Call them out. Send them to the vineyard. You go and help pick up this. You go and help do that. Go and see the foreman. He will tell you what to do. Find your place in the body. Do your service. Everybody had the time and the season. When they were going to be called, those who were for the third hour couldn't come in the sixth hour. Because he allowed us all, he put us in all to our age. He put some in the first age, some in the second age, some in the third age. Everybody had the age that they were going to come in, where they were going to get called in that age. And they were all going to be sealed until the day of their redemption. Amen. Now watch. But then the last call was that one in the 11th hour. But the last of the day. And the last call was being given the final voice to the final age. The last call going out. And that's what we believe we are still doing. Just echoing, just carrying on that same, not another voice. The Spirit and the bride will say, as he said, and the Spirit said to the prophet, because the Spirit speaking in every age. He would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. It's just we need to recognize and know the nature of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he said, I will be with you and in you even until the end of the world. Even until the end of the age. So watch. He was calling and calling. And Jesus was giving this in a type. And showing that that call is going to start from the early morning. And how the first hour workers was going to come in. And he's getting a parable because he had taught on those things in many places. In one place about the sow and the seed. He talked about the seed coming back to seed. How the sower planted the seed fell in the ground, it died, it got into a blade, into a stalk, it came back into the seed. In another place, he's teaching the same thing. When the last one at the end going to get the same penalty the first one they begin to get. It's all restoration, it's all the plan of redemption. He was teaching in different ways. He had a message. And here in the prophetic part of his message, because 80% of his message dealt with the second coming. How many people know that? He spoke more of his second coming than his first coming. Way back the Bible in the book of Jude 14, it says Enoch prophesied he will come in 10,000 years before Christ came the first time and died. Enoch prophesied he's going to come in the last days. Is that right? Sure. So here we watch and see. He going to prophecy. Speaking about the 11th hour. At evening time. The last hour of the day. But the first hour is at 6 when the sun rises. In the morning. Early in the morning. But that sun comes from east to west. And it ends up in the west at evening time. And that sun, the sunlight represented the Son of God. Coming, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Coming across and civilization following the sun. Amen. And the gospel coming civilization crossing the earth. But at evening time, which it was going to be in the west. And in Jesus probably was showing when the sun is in the west. At evening time, the ones who come in the last hour will begin to receive the same penny that was given to the first hour workers. And there we can see the foreknowledge of God. What we are looking at is his foreknowledge. He knew what was going to happen in every age. You take Matthew 13. He spoke 7 parables about the 7 church ages in Matthew 13. Started off with the sowing the seed and the man who found the treasure in the field and then the woman who had the leaven in the flour and all these things and then he ends up with the man with the dragnet, with the fishes and so on, which was this last day message. Sure. 7 church ages, he's dealing with right there. And then showing how, here in Matthew 20, that he's taking it in a different way now. Like hours of the day, when different ones was coming in. But he's saying something, at that last hour, them 11th hour ones, not going to get the same kind of blessing. Going to get the same kind of wage. Going to have the same kind of experience. The Lord of the harvest is going to display his grace to them in such a way
Amen. That they are going to see the fullness of that grace. It will not be what they deserve. It will not be what they work for. It will be what is given to them sufferingly. Who art thou that replies against God? You know, if you're unrighteous with God. Hallelujah. Glory. And here, he gives a prophetic promise, as he reveals the program of God for the last days, he even brings in the sovereignty of God and the revelation of God's grace. Seeing us quite down here, in the West, when the gospel is in the West, not when in Germany, in Luther, not when, but yeah, in England, with John Wesley, but when it comes in the West, in the last days, when it comes back to apostolic doctrine, the same gospel, the same blessing that the early church got. That man didn't get that message from a seminary. That steward heard directly from the Lord of the vineyard. At evening time, the Lord of the vineyard himself appeared on the scene. He didn't come looking for workers and ranchmen and different things. He comes here, steward. He comes straight to the steward. He said, you go with this message. Amen. You are my faithful steward, singular. Amen. I'll send Malachi 4:5. I'll send you Elijah. Amen. Behold, I, the Lord of the vineyard, send you Elijah, my steward. And he will come and tell you to get the same penny. Amen. He will turn your heart back. Was that a message? My, it was on Sunset Peak. Amen. Junior Jackson saw it in a dream. He was going towards the steward was going towards the setting of the sun. He had a call from the Lord in the vineyard. When this vision come to pass, go westward. Amen. Glory. He went out there. He said, I didn't even know it until the other day. It was on Sunset Peak. The evening light has come. Amen. What a word, the Lord of the vineyard, Revelation 10:1, descending to his steward, Revelation 10:7, saying, go and call the 11th hour workers. Yeah. That little group, Revelation 8:11, and I will give them the same penny. Why? Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a message to hasten with. That when you see what God has in store for his people, when you see how God wants to bless his people, when you see how undeserving they are, doing idle all day long. Yeah. Why stand you idle here now? Amen. Hallelujah! You didn't go to the Dark Ages. You wasn't in the Inquisition. You didn't have to face them in the Reformation. When they was killing them by the millions, you didn't have to face these things. You ain't take the heat of the day. You ain't go through all these things. But at evening time, you're going to get the same penny anyhow. And I'll stop with you. Amen! Hallelujah! Is that part of the plan of God? Well, look, Jesus was teaching that. Hallelujah! That about the Lord of the vineyard. He himself was the Lord of the vineyard. I know Malachi 4:5 was not John the Baptist, because he said Elijah truly shall come. Yes. Amen. He knew that was a steward who's going to be there at evening time. Glory. Amen. And Jesus wanted to make sure in the last days, when it's so deceiving, the real believers don't get confused with the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a must. That's the message of the hour. Amen. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Glory. He's coming for you. The Holy, but the blood was shed for you, and the Holy Spirit has come to claim you. Amen. The Spirit is speaking to the prophet, speaking to the bride now. Is that right? Still proclaiming that very message. He said, let's get ready for the final call. Hallelujah! But he said, the bride under her messenger will become the final voice. The messenger was the final voice. But she under her messenger becomes the final voice too. Because she has another message. The final voice is the final message. But the final message is inside of her. Amen! And the same spirit that was in the prophet is still speaking to her. He was the first voice. He was the second voice. He was the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And he's the final voice still. It was always the Holy Ghost speaking. That is why the word cannot fall to the ground. That is why he brings it to pass. That is why he anoints it and quickens and makes it alive. That's why believers need in this hour to get a revelation of what the Holy Ghost is doing. If you can look in the Bible and see the Holy Spirit was promised to be here in the last days to be given to them, call them and give them the wages. Don't give them a nice little, you know, healing in the body. Don't just give them a maybe a nice new hairstyle and new way to dress and these things. Don't just give them a new form of theology. No, give them the same penny. Hallelujah. I think right now we need to see what the early church got. Amen. So notice, and in Jesus speaking, he showed there was still more being called after the early hour. There was still more being called after the third hour. There was still more being called after the sixth hour. There was still more being called after the ninth hour. At the 11th hour, he was still calling, but there was no more being called after the 11th hour. Why? Because the gospel had made the whole cycle. From east to west, it was in the west. It was going back east now. The sun was going down to go back east. Darkness was coming upon the Gentiles in the west. Is that right? And the day was going to get ready to fix and to break for the Jews back in the east. It'll make the full, complete cycle. So that there could be no more calling. Amen. After that, Stuart spoke his message. That was the end of it. Is that right? In that last hour, that one man went out a message here. Glory. Maybe when the first workers here who come in at the 11th hour. See how they come in at the 11th hour. But maybe some who was there first when the steward arrived. And they heard the steward song in the message. They went to tell the rest who they knew also was in the 11th hour. Saying, the steward is here. It's a tremendous message. I mean, I can't even imagine that the Lord of the vineyard could be seen us that way. First of all, I argued who's going to complain. If I get the same penny, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't going to argue that. Amen. I'm glad you're thinking of me that way. Amen. I'm glad you can still remit my sin. I'm glad you can still give me the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you don't want to give me a blessing like Luther Wesley, but you give me the blessing the early ones got. I'm glad for that. Amen. See, now, what we want to try to unfold is the mystery of that 11th hour. When is that 11th hour? Amen. When did it begin? How are we going to know when the 11th hour begins? He says the 11th hour, we have an idea. We know the 11th hour is the last hour of the day. Amen, before the sun sets. See? So then, we think now, see, 6 o'clock in the morning, the first hour of the day. The sun rose and broke the new day. Then 6 to 12 was 6, and then 6 to 12 to 6. In the evening was 6, at 12, and the 11 was that last hour. So what? So then, when they are coming in there now, before that day closes, then we have a good idea, evening time, Jesus spoke of it here, but when did it begin? When did it really begin that 11th hour had started, and the Holy Spirit in that final hour was going to bring those people to such an awakening? That message is going to sink up in their hearts. It's going to come so clear in their mind. But that they will know what they are supposed to receive. When you're paying them, but they won't just take part of the money and take off until we get it. No. Because they know, he said, you're going to get the same penny the only ones who got. See, the English said penny, but a denarii. So you got to check it. You got to check it to see right now. Is this the amount they're supposed to have here? You know what I'm saying? Now, justification is the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to stop the end. He's starting to pay you up. Amen. He's giving you what they got because they were justified. Is that right? They were baptized in the John Baptist. They were sanctified. Father sanctified by the truth. Is that right? Glory. Then they got the Holy Ghost. Is that right? On the Pentecost again, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Then they wrote a book of Acts. So then we realize if we after we receive the same penny, we want to check it. We can check it to the world because Acts 1 to 28 shows the penny. Amen. Acts 1 to 28 shows the penny. Check how much you have with that. Check and see if it's the same thing. Is that right? You don't want to take off and you ain't get what you were sent because we see he didn't think of this. He didn't say, better go and tell them that. He didn't express his own thoughts. He just said what the Lord and the vineyard, He was, if the Lord had been the one who was going to pay them that, he is the paymaster. Amen. Yes, sir. He's the one with the seal. There's a message angel and then the sealing angel. Glory. And brother, both of them is working together. One is doing the calling and one is doing the sealing. Amen. While Peter had spoke these words, then he dropped down and sealed them up. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Paul spoke them under what were you baptized? Baptism, correct? Amen. Messenger, angel can baptize too, but only the water. He can baptize with the Holy Ghost, the sealing angel. He don't baptize with the water, the message angel is baptized with the water.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. But the sealing angel is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. The heavenly angel and the earthly angel, but God and his bride together, the head and the body united together. Amen. You want the scripture, it's always right. Forget what our thoughts, forget what we learn, forget what we know. The scripture is always right. So watch. Now we want to unfold, when is that 11th hour? Is that my hour? Is it the last age? Before the gospel go back to the Jews? Is this evening time? Now we can take any one of them things and prove we need 11th hour. But there's also more proof of the 11th hour. Because Jesus spoke so conclusively. He didn't just make a rash statement. He didn't make a broad thing. When he said 11th hour, brother, he pinpointed. When he said 11th hour, he pinpointed. And that's what we want to bring this and been trying to bring in just one service, but just never enough. Could never be enough. Amen. But watch. So when did it begin? If we can see that, if we can unfold that, and we know what the first penny was, then we'll be able to see how God is working, where he begin to work, what he begin to do, and how the 11th hour people is coming in the same way to get the same penny.
But can't fail.
If Jesus said that the 11th hour are going to get the same penny they got, they received the penny. The other way he brought them into it. Amen. And then we also is going to come into it in the evening time. Now watch. But watch. So before we can unfold this, we want to know first what that penny was. When I said that penny was, Acts. That's the early workers right there in the morning. They had none before them. That was the inauguration of the church right there. That's the first ones beginning to come in right there. And that's where the Holy Ghost fell right there. That's where the promise was given.
Amen.
That was where the pattern was made. Amen.
Amen.
Then God was going to bring everything back to its original. Because you can't get a better thought than his first thought. No, that makes it wonderful. Once you know what God did, then you have no problem with what happened with you. Anytime you are wondering what happened to you, you don't know what God did before. The reason you can have rest is because you know what God did before, he's doing again. And you can see what he did before and you can see what you're going through. So you're not frustrated. Because you see all what you face with, you see their faces before you. You see how they handle the situation. And that becomes your example, your channel to draw inspiration to face the same condition. Because the same life that was in them that made them overcome, the same life come back in you. It's not another Holy Ghost, it's the same Holy Ghost. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He said he that was in you was he that was in Adam. He that was in Abraham. He that was in Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and Moses and Joseph all them. He that was in Jesus. He that was in Paul and Moses and Martin. It's the same he back inside of you. And once he proven and identify himself, is the same he inside of you with the same characteristic, you won't fear being burned at the stake, he overcome that already. You won't fear rejection, he overcome that already. You won't fear persecution, he overcome that already. The 20 lions, then he overcome that also. He make death stand still, he make time stand still. He make the sun stand still. He make the water stand still. Is that right? That is why when you know he has thoroughly identified himself in you, because you know you have been changed. You have been reborn. All your life has been made anew. The life that you live now in this flesh is still your flesh. But the life in this flesh is not the life that you lived before. The life I live now. Amen. See, it's different. You know when you are dead in sin and trespasses, how God come and quicken you, raise you up. You see you are in the midst of sin. And he begins to raise you up. And he raises you above it. And you're going so high. He raises so far from it, you look back. It is so far from you because you raised your way up into heaven. And while you were down in sin, God was so far up. And you know where God is? Is you up the way God is now? In angels all around. Amen. And sin is so far. Raise you up out of it. Amen. You don't have no fear saying you ain't going back in the world. You ain't afraid the devil will catch you for saying that. Glory! You know a baby born out of a womb can't go back into my life. Hallelujah! You know an eagle that picked out of that eggshell could never go back in that eggshell and live. So Satan is frightening you with all them kind of nonsense because he lifts you far above them things. Amen. Yes, sir. Actually, faith is a powerful thing. Amen. Yes, sir. Put the flight, the armies, and the aliens that come to take over your mind. Amen. Yes, sir. All the devils that invade your mind, they put the flight. Shoot them bastards off your sacrifice. Trying to make a nest in you. Hear all them birds flying around there. All them vultures with the filthy natures. Amen. Trying to come and land upon this sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. You have no vultures that come and fly around, brother. Amen. In my name you shall cast out devils. In other words, with my seal, you can cast out devils. Because my name is my seal. Amen. Glory. So watch. So here, before we can unfold this now, I say we must first know what penny, what the wages is. Because that is the penny that's going to be coming back. What was given to them is what was given to us at a particular time. So for us to know what time it is, we have to see what is being given that time. If it's just maybe justification being given, this is the 11th hour, this is the last hour of the day. If it's just been sanctification being given, this is that hour. But we saw one stand up here and say, let there be. Yeah, no more after that. All the way back to Adam, brother. Yeah. Adam, all after that. Back there, back in the mind of God. Yeah. Amen. That's why he made man his image and likeness and gave him dominion. So watch. Because that wage that is being given in this hour must be the same thing he gave in the beginning. Oh, my. And if you know the hour, you'd be expecting to get it. If it's supposed to get 5 coins, and you give it 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you stop and you go and talk to somebody else, you ain't walking away. You say, Lord, you still promise one more to make 5. It all ought to be here. He does that. He get 1 squirrel, 2 squirrel, and then he hold up and then he behave like he go on and everything else. And say, let me get on here fast, thank God, I get 2. He say, where you going? Come back here. You said 3. Amen. Glory. You said 3. Amen. Don't blame God, but God is perfect. Amen. Your cup may get full, but you want to run over. Amen. The last one will begin to run over. Amen. Glory. You know, in the Arabs have something. You know, when you come in their house, they fill your cup until it run over. And That's a sign that, you know, you're welcome in the house. See? Give you it running over. That's where God has given it. Running over. Give it to my cup, run it over. Now watch. Now, for us to find this hour, we know the first hour. What the first hour was. We see where it started. And the sun was in the east when the first hour started. Now we know the sun is not in the east, the sun is in the west. I don't know the gospel. Amen. Because I've been calling our people out of the generation for his name's sake. So if we examine the history of the church, because from the first hour, early in the morning, the first age, to the last hour, which is the last age, the workers being called out at different hours of the day really represented the church ages and the elected who has been called in the time of the ages. You get that? That's what it was. The different hours of the day. There was 4 hours he mentioned. 3rd hour, 6 hour, 9 hour, and 11th hour. Them four seals, them first four seals, it covered from the first age to the last age. Amen? And under all those seals, there was those, the entire journey of the sun coming from east to west. Have nothing beyond that. The gospel from the Arabian desert to the Arizona desert, have nothing beyond that. That's from Paul to Brother Branham. That's the message right there. That's the full gospel. That's the full penny right there. Same pillar of fire come there. Wasn't seen since the early church. Appeared back in the evening time in the Arizona desert. Is that right? Yeah. Never seen since the early church. Came back. What for? When it came back? It came back with the same doctrine. Came back with the same blessing. Is that right? Yeah. All right. So from the first hour, the first age, to the last hour of the day, the last age, he was calling the workers, and that represented the elected who has been called in the ages. That's why I say, those who come in the first hour couldn't come in the ninth hour. Those who come in the third, because in each age, he designates so much people to be born. You couldn't be born in Paul's time. You had to be born in this time. God didn't want Luther in this time. God wanted Luther in that time. God didn't want Martin in Luther's time. God wanted Martin in his time. Is that right? Each one of them had to come according to the age. God had so much thoughts in the Lamb's Book of Life to be expressed. And in every age, he expressed a portion of them names. And when they were manifesting to the earth, the gospel came and called them. Is that right?
Exactly.
Called them. And while when he called them, he revealed to them the blessing for the age. Amen. And that gospel had called them. Just like here in the 11th hour. They didn't know yet. He said, go in and work for whatever is right. They didn't know what the blessing was until the steward came. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, not until the evening messenger came, even though since World War I stopped and the Holy Ghost had a fall, no, and the name started to reveal back in the church, nobody knew what the blessing was until the evening messenger came. When he came, he showed what the real restoration is. He said, not that thing you get up there. That's where it started to come. If the Pentecost had continued, they would have been the bride here today. But it didn't continue. Amen! That the Holy Spirit had to fall as gifts first. See? Then God come out. God didn't bring the word right away. It started with time to attract their attention. To get them ready for the message. But when the seven seals opened up, it showed the full penny what it was and how we are going to come in to receive it again. Alright. We're going to get to that. I don't even want to say it. I want to bring it down to the place there. We can really understand it. See it in the word. Because the purpose of this is, if we can see what God is doing now, that's what we want to show. I want to show it right here in 1990, in September right here, this month. While all this God crisis is going on, what this nation just passed through, I want to show that those things is in perfect continuity to what God is doing. And that's not strange, because we already believe that there's nothing going to happen except God allow it. We know that. And we already know it's God who rules in the affairs of man. And there's nothing out of the cater. We know that too. But sometimes it's relevant to us in the sense of for us to get inspiration to step out. We see it sometimes, but we don't move. In other words, when they see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, they flee. And they was not caught in the destruction. You know what I'm saying? They understood it was time to go. When Paul saw the Jews rejecting the message, the Gentiles come in, he knew it's time God finished him. He dust his feet. He knew they were finished there as a nation. They're gone now. The lingering time that God lingered back with them since Calvary till that time was finished. He said, now I turn to the Gentiles. So it is the same way. God moving among his people. We gather here. Things is happening. We have our own little world. We have things to do. We have responsibilities. But yet we want to stay in the channel of the Word of God where we can be led by God, don't we? Where this one throws out the kid and this throws out the focus here, and then we get all confused and we all depressed and frustrated, and then when we come back in church, we're trying to get back in line with God. No! We want at all times, we're walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Whether we are at home, whether we are on the outside, regardless of where we are. Because we know God is not confined to church and does not confine himself to church. We know in church is the least place where God does do experiences. We know most of it can happen outside of church. I talk about the building where we gather together. It's only been untutored. We'll be looking for God in church on a platform or something. And then we go out and we get blank again. No. You only come in to keep your eyes anointed in church. That's what I'm going to do. Right, God, I see clear everywhere. Everywhere you have to see clear. Amen? So watch. So, if we could show that right now, God, when Jesus is speaking this, and showing that there was no more going to be call, and the last call is going to be given through that message he sent with that evening messenger, that steward, and that steward was going to give them last hour workers the same penny, and there was no more call, it was finished, everything was over, the day was done, the work was over. Then it means to say, if that was his program, he was revealing there, then right now where we at, as long as we're not finished, we're still caught up in the midst of what he has spoken. Now remember, this is the infallible thoughts of God. So how are we going to know what God is doing? Read God's word. God say what he will do. How do we know what to look for? God give a description in his word. There's nowhere to know it outside the word. Is that right? So when we read the word and see God himself spoke it, the one who designed it, the one who arranged it, the one who could bring it to pass, was the one who spoke it. Then I want to bring to you and show you, we are caught up right now in the winding up of this very thing. It's finishing. Why? He said, how do you know? Because the sun is in the west, it's evening time, the messengers come. Is that right? It's restoration time. The ones who have been called in this hour is getting the same blessing to show his finished work, to show his achievement, to show his victory, to show his restoration, because there's no more ages. There's no more messengers. There's no more nothing. Either this bride is predestinated to come back to where the beginning was. Alpha becomes Omega here under this message. Amen. He has given it to us. He said, I don't know how I get it. Oh, and maybe you need to know how you get it, how you receive it. See? He's giving you the same penny. I say, look how he gives them the first penny. He said, Elijah, come, call them all, reveal. Elijah reveal the Son of Man. They come to justify, sanctify, get the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Wrote the book of Acts, the set in order, the Ephesians back there, everything. You see how he did it? Amen. Then, if that is God's program, then we know the unchanging God never has, never will, does not ever change his mind about his word. God has never deviated from his program. Because that is his infallible thoughts. That is unfailing words of promise. When you were saying at evening time there will be a steward coming with a message of the same penny, that could never fail. That is the perfect thoughts of God being spoken. It became the Bible. And when the evening time came, God didn't have a man to be born to catch the very thoughts of God. God didn't meet him on Sunset Mountain, on Sunset Peak, at evening time. And he did came with the same message, showing us to come back where the early ones was. Why? It was God's perfect thoughts. Amen. Then, if that's come to pass, the very last one, the very last worker, is going to get a penny. Maybe he's standing that last hour in that marketplace and some coming. First couple of minutes of the hour. Maybe a few more minutes pass. You see a few months in the mean. Maybe it may have some. Just going to come in and still get the same penny. Who are you and me? You turn around and say, that brother in the message, just 2 weeks and he getting things, experiences and blessings. I sit on here 15 years and never get yet. Amen. Amen. I believe that it dies of God. You ain't no God. Amen. You ain't no God. Amen. You don't make God give nobody nothing that they deserve. Anytime you're trying to make God give somebody something that they deserve, then you have your own program. You have the program distorted. You have to make God give in who you want to give always. You have to make God choice sovereign. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. Then your revelation about him is correct. Look at many people who was healed and he make that man still get 38 years. You know, that man complains, see, I see some people, I willing to serve God, I will serve God with everything I have. Look at that man coming to meeting, get healed, go back on and never serve God. God ain't just. You think what you want? Maybe you want to show something greater than you. Maybe you want to give you character. Maybe you want to give you something that can't fade away. Amen. Maybe you're looking at God's love through human eyes. Amen. See, and the only thing you're comparing because you're carnal. You're a babe still. You don't understand the ways of God, you see. When you look and you see, God does those things sufferingly. Then, so look at this. Then, if now the winding of time, when these things are happening, then we know God does not change, has not changed, never will change. Then it means we are right in line with the prophecies promised to this age. We see in the word, what I read in the word is what is promised to this age. This is another parable, sure. He spoke many things in the form of parable. He is speaking of mystery. He said, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be single, the lamp of the body, no man lights a lamp put on a bushel. He's talking about redemption. He's a shepherd of the sheep. He's talking about redemption. He's talking about light and darkness. He's talking about redemption. He's talking about a sow and a sower seed. He's talking about redemption. No matter what parable he speaks of, it is his promise. It is his word. It is his program. It is himself he's revealing and his works. Amen. So, let us then examine a little bit. Because we want to examine that. How from that first age, that first hour, right down? Because we are going to see from which there's a definite point of time in history where the church actually begin to come back into apostolic faith. Do you know that? Do you know it was apostolic faith and reformers? Do you know apostolic doctrine that many reformers couldn't get actually begin to open up? Actually begin to come back in? It begin to come back in the church until we are within the true church today. Every doctrine, every truth, every mystery that Paul brought there is back here again, fully revealed. Show that there is an apostolic church, apostolic by nature, apostolic by doctrine, apostolic in its operation, apostolic by spirit, apostolic by life. Sure! Came back! It's here! Lack of the knowledge of what God did through the age is why people cannot correctly identify that the original blessing is here again. And as long as you don't know it's here again, you can't move into it. How are you going to receive what you don't know about? Have you received the Holy Ghost in the belief? What Holy Ghost? We don't know about any Holy Ghost, they said. It was there Many had the experience. The man who was talking them had it. Is that right? Many others like them had it. And they didn't know about it. I was there for many years. But they couldn't move into it because they never knew it was there. Because it had to be seen and understood by a revelation of the word. You couldn't see with the eye. Because it didn't come by observation. Is that right? The same when the Messiah was amongst them. He came on his own and don't receive him not. Because they never knew he was there. The Jews are still blinded looking at the Messiah. And Messiah came 2,000 years ago to them. Exactly. That's why to one man who say, I don't see that. That's not there. That ain't going on. It's not going on for him. He's not seen it. But to the man who knows it is there, he can enjoy the blessing of it. He can live in victory because of it. He knows how to move into it. He knows to stay in connection with it. He knows when it deviates, how to come back to it. He know what drive it away, so he know not to manifest them things that drive it away. He know what is encourage it, so he know to do those things. Sure. Exactly. When you look and see, we don't have to be defeated. I had to stop if I had to have the Lord's Supper and send you out. Glad that it's 5:27. I already know I must be off for the preaching at 5:30 for the latest. So I have 2 hours to serve the Lord's Supper and feed washing all these people. You understand? All right, I'm gonna keep my promise. Amen. I just enjoyed myself here in the world. It's so nice. Just to talk about Him, you see, and what He have in store for us, friends. I'm trying to tell you. God have this in store for us. Is He say, go and call them and give them the wages. Sure. Give them the same penny. Pour the same blessing upon them. Let them know how I think about them. Tell some of them want to complain and then tell them forget it. Amen. It's, I love them so. Hallelujah. Amen. And see what has been called, we can see where. Exactly the point and time that seal began to come back to the church. The real revelation, the revelation of that name began to come back to the church just like the early ones had it. They had a revelation of the name. That you have kept my name. You have not denied my faith. Amen. See? And they asked Peter, by what power, what authority do you make this man whole? He said, by faith in that name. So he told them, repentance and remission shall be preached in my name. Go and baptize in my name. In my name shall cast out devils. He said, Father, I've manifested thy name unto them. I come in my Father's name. Father, glorify thy name. He tells them to pray, hallowed be thy name. I mean, they live in that revelation. They knew who he was. He made it plain to them who he was. He didn't leave them without a shadow of a doubt. And what they could understand is when the Spirit of truth is come, they're going to make it so plain to you. Amen. And then, when it came back, look what it did. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. They didn't believe he rose because they couldn't find the body. But then they couldn't explain how these men doing the same thing he was doing. And when they ask them, how are you doing these things? They say, because of him, because he raised. So they was preaching the resurrection. No, not with the body of Jesus. You believe in risen, they bring the body into the body. No. They was preaching the resurrection that his same life was in them. Because I live, you shall live also. I will be with you and in you, even until the end. That's what they begin to see. You write that name in the forehead. They knew what they possess. Put that seal upon them. And here, definitely in the church. We take that history to the church, and we took it the last time. And he said, you have a name that delivers, but it's dead. The name was lost. When the titles of these men are coming, when the church began to die, when the apostolic doctrine was lost, then what happened? They was coming in, and while they was coming in, they was coming with something else. And he promised, because he spoke that day in Matthew 20, that they will get the same penny, he had to bring back the same thing. Because it was locked up in that blessing. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Tied right there. See? Go and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. They had that revelation. So then here it was. When they caught it and they went forth, they knew it wasn't saying Jesus. Not everyone knew it wasn't saying Jesus. Just saying, pronouncing the name. They knew it was the life that they had received inside of them. They knew it was part of the very same mystery, part of the very word. They knew it was He Himself in them. That's why they didn't just say they pronounced the name Jesus, they declared the name. They could preach the mystery of who He was, because He had them becoming one. He was inside of them, living through them. They manifest the name that Paul said, they glorified God in me. Because remember, Jesus was the body. But He gave me the Father's name. That's the name He had of the Father. The Father's Elohim, the Spirit. See? But He's not the light. He said, I am Jesus. Who are thou, Jehovah, JVHU? No man can call JVHU Jesus but by the Holy Ghost. L-O-R-D, JVHU. That is the I am that I am, who Moses wanted to know His name. He said, what do you want to know my name? Jacob asked Him His name. That's the angel of the Lord. He told Moses, in whom My name is. That angel, that pillar of fire, that Logos, who came there, when he saw that same pillar of fire, Logos, he said, who are thou, JVHU? But the English put Lord. See? He said, I am Jesus. Whom thou persecutest. He didn't walk away and say, I see Jesus. He came back with the revelation of the Old Testament of how that word was to become flesh for redemption. And that same life was to condescend down into the people. And Paul said, the mystery has not been revealed to sons. Christ in you. See? So he knew. He declared it. Because he said, you will bear My name to the Gentiles. You are chosen, but you will bear My name. And in this day, but it's not just Jesus, just saying Jesus. He said, I'll write the name of My God, the name of the city of My God, and My new name upon you. Here it is. That when everybody was saying Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus' name, they couldn't live the life. And they crucified the name when it had been declared to them. When the name had been manifested, when the name was bringing back the little fish back to life. Is that right? Speaking to about their existence. Speaking to about their existence. In that name. When that name has been declared in a new way. They didn't understand. They say, we following Jesus. We ain't following a man. You all following a man. You all following some man as a prophet. We following Jesus. They didn't understand. They thought they were saying Jesus. And I say, how? You don't even have that name until that soul is quickened by the Holy Spirit. Then that name has been written in your forehead. Because that name is a seal. We took it in the first message and explained it and showed all through the Bible. The name and the seal was the one and the same thing. Take Revelation 7 in the New Testament, Revelation 14 in the New Testament, and show that he sealed them with the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was the Father's name that was written inside of there. Amen. And we know when that name is revealed in the last days, wait until them seven thunders utter their voices out of the group. Watch them take the word and hand it there again. They won't holler. You say, watch them speak into existence. That's what we want to bring it to quite the air. That when that third pull comes, watch and see the people. Who has that life? Who has that name? Who would manifest that name? How can a man have that life and preach false doctrine? Your false teacher of the true word can't do it. That life will take you back to the world. You say, well, yeah, but Abraham had it and did false doctrine. No, the age for the fullness of the word didn't come yet. And that word has come to that age. That was alone for that time. But from the time came, what did truth come forth and correct everything else? But he preached the truth as far as what was allotted for that age. Everything. Exactly right. But here, as we look and see, there was a definite time where that name began to come back. A definite place it began to take place. The revelation began to come among the people. There's a definite experience being given that was bringing people right back, because he gave a promise. And I want to make a little jump, if I could, for 5 minutes, and then we stand to our feet. Give you a scripture to ponder in your heart. Amen. I want to take Matthew 7 and Luke 13. We get ready to change the order of the service. God wants to give that, friends. God never changes man about that. If we examine history and show from the first hour to the last hour, from the first age to the last age, how he is calling them in every age, because that's what it represented, calling them. And Sam, the field represented how he's calling the workers in every age. He's calling the elect in every age. And we can examine the history of the church ages. And we can see that there are two major spiritual historical events of that 11th hour being identified. Matthew 7, verse 13. Where he says here, entering at the straight gate. And notice that is not straight. That is straight. Now, it's not in the olden days they spell straight, 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 you know. That is purposely written there. Jesus is teaching something. It says entering at the straight. Straight means a body of water. Straight means a body of water. We are singing the song we were singing this evening. It shall be like in the evening time, the path to glory you shall find. In the light today, buried in the presence of Jesus. See? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in that way. Because straight, straight, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. If few could find that straight way. Tell me to Luke 13. So I don't have time to deal with the scripture. I want to take that. But I'll give it to you for you to read. Get you familiar with it. Luke 13. See, Jesus taught about that 11th hour. And many other scriptures which Jesus spoke of, he was speaking about that same time and that promise when it will be fulfilled. And he's teaching here about this straight way. And we want to take it and show how that time was directly connected to the promise in the evening time when it's going to come back. When the name, when the seal, when the same penny, the same blessing is going to come back. Luke 13 verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching
and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? You know, I was reading this thing the other day in the newspaper. They had this man, Maurice Cirillo. He is teaching 1 billion souls for Jesus. And these things, he alone, with his movement, you know, 1 billion souls for Jesus. Catholics have 1 billion, today 2 billion. Then you have the Muslims, they have 500 million. Then, you know, you have all the other Christian Pentecostal denominations and everybody else have. Let me tell you, by the time they finish, you have nobody lost, you know. You have no hell in these things. And when Jesus brought it, you're not going to destruction. When you talk about the wheat and the tears being gathered for the fire, you got no tears when they finish, you know. You see, that man trying to exalt the knowledge above the world. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Sodom, so it shall be. Few will be there that find it. And these people had heard him preach that few and nailed down that few so tight. When they hear Noah, know it only at 8. And they hear Sodom, know it only at 4. And one turned back into a pillar of salt for looking back. Then they asked him, they said, Lord, are there few that be saved? He said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For all of you who don't want to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here this evening. Let me tell you, Jesus is saying, strive to enter in at the straight way. Strive to enter in at the water way. At the straight way, a body of water. Amen. I say unto you, for many I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, now watch him, he's placing this in a certain hour, and had shut the door, and begin to stand outside, and you begin to stand outside, and do knock at the door, say, Lord, Lord, open up to us! And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and have drunk in thy presence. We come to service. We sit there, we partake of the word. We tasted of the good word of God and the heavenly blessing. And thou hast taught in our streets. I was in the meetings. I give to the building fund. I did so and so. You taught in our streets. I followed you everywhere, back and forth, across the country. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not from where you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. My, that was a hard message. Amen. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. What is teaching again? He's telling them that one of these days, the master will rise up. Shut that door. He says, strive to enter in that door. That way. I'm the way. I'm the door. I'm the truth. Strive to enter in that straight gate. That open door. Because one day I'll rise up and I'll shut that door. It will no more be open. It'll be shut. And many will want to come in at that door and will not be able to come in at that door. Let me give you a scripture quick again just to help you. I'll give you the study when you go home. I don't have time to deal with it here, as I should. We're going to maybe get a little more next week. But just to give it to get studied on your own too. Matthew 25. All this teaching is the end time. He's teaching about the end time. Because the end time is when that door is going to be shut. The end time is when there will be weeping and wailing and national teeth in that tribulation period. That time when no more will be able to come in. There's no more calling after the 11th hour. That was the final call. What? Jesus knew the plan of God.
And he's laid out here in his message, in his preaching. He didn't see a bunch of different messages. He had one revelation. Matthew 25. But it's amazing how he can teach this message in so many different ways. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Oh my. That's what we want to get now. I want to get for you the hour when that door shuts. How are we going to... The last hour when no one will be called would be that 11th hour. Then we want to find the 11th hour. Find that time when that door shuts. When that door shuts, nobody can come in either. All you're striving to come in is while the door is open. That's straight gate. Friends, is the honest truth? There'll be a time, it can't be done. Now watch how it all ties back to this message. This is the end of it. Is in this hour, the 11th hour call, last call? No more going to come coming after? Is it evening time? Is in this last hour when that door's being shut too? Watch it together, how it goes together. Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. He's giving a parable here now. But they that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all come out. Went down from that first age, waiting, looking for the bridegroom. They all believe he's going to come in their age. Then they all slumbered and slept. And watch it here. Verse 6. A definite time now. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, a bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. At midnight now, a message announcing the coming of the bridegroom was being given. Have we heard such a message? The coming of the Lord? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. First a message announcing his presence is coming, and then is coming. Is that right? And they that were ready, because that message made them ready. It made some ready. When he come, he found some ready, because they heard that cry announcing his coming. Is the message of preparation? No, sure it is. And they that already went in with him to the marriage, or the marriage supper is what it really means. In the original Greek, that word speaks of the marriage supper, went into the marriage supper. And the door was shut. Afterward also came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Isn't that what he said in Luke? When he rise up and shut that door, the rest are going to come and try to get in and say, I don't know you, because the door was shut. But they missed that open door. He said, they're trying to come in. They missed that straight away. Now watch. And he said, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know whether the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Now look at this. When they came in, they found the door shut. Outside is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So when does that door shut? When does that door shut? In Luke, he says, try to enter the straight gate. Because you're going to be shut once the master will raise suddenly and shut that door and you'll be able to come in. He said, but what's going to happen? There'll be those who come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. They will sit there in the kingdom of God. And the others who come in, he said, I don't know where you come from. He says, but look. Then, when they try to come in and find themselves on the outside, there's weeping and wailing. In other words, the tribulation period, because they missed that open door. But he never said back there when that door was swing shut. When does that door come shut? After his coming, after the bridegroom comes. The door swings shut after the bridegroom descends. That message announces the coming of the bridegroom, the parousia of the bridegroom. His presence, he's here, he's on the scene. When he comes to take them into the wedding supper. Is that right? They went through that door and was taken away in the rapture. The rest, they missed that and they could not enter in. They could not enter in to go into the rapture. They couldn't go. They missed it. Though they sought to try to enter in. So how does that tie back there? Watch. But when that door swung shut, there was no more could come in. Jesus giving a parable. Now what? From verse 1, Matthew 21, 25, verse 1 to 5, is speaking about the first age to the seventh age. From verse 1 to 5, is speaking about from the first age to the seventh age. They all went out. The prophet says that those in the message, 10 virgins, isn't this Matthew 25? He's speaking here in 10 virgins. He says, and five of them were wise and five were foolish, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, he said, that's through these church ages. They slumbered and slept all the way down through both, all died, slumbered and slept, see? As they went down through. Now they are not lost, but they just slumbered and slept. They are waiting. See, they didn't say they was dead. Remember the foolish virgins? Is elect also, but not to go in the rapture. Not to go in the rapture. They didn't have that oil. They was not sealed. They was not sealed away. That name wasn't really written in the forehead. Oh, they baptized in Jesus' name. They didn't have a revelation. Otherwise, it would take them to the Holy Spirit. See? It would take them to the Holy Spirit. Now watch. All the way down through both all that slumber and slept as they went through. Now they are not lost. They just slumber and slept. They are waiting. See? They didn't say they was dead. But they are slumbering and sleeping. See? He said, now, the five wise virgins. Now, oil in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And we know that. We all know that. That's why we anoint the sick with oil. And oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So the wise had oil in their lamps, which was the Holy Spirit. So they were ready to go in at the wedding supper. And we could go back in Ezekiel 9 and so forth and pull out and show. I've got about 15 more scriptures wrote out here. You could go back in Ezekiel 9 where they were sealing them before the judgment came in. You can go back there and pull it out. We don't have time to go in there. We ourselves here don't have time to do anything. Now, on the rapture, page 29, he says now, what's the first thing he does? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven and shout. He said, what is that? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. He says, lamp trimming time. At midnight. Uniting time and sign. Page 21. Speaking about the bride and the bridegroom, God is united. How to be united together? She's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She's the bride. That's right. She's united herself with the bridegroom. See? The bridegroom is the word. They've been united right now. The bride and the word being united together. And the church and the bride and the word are becoming so one until the very word itself is working out the work of the bridegroom. Amen. Do you see it? Are you united? Page 30, he says, let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming an hour when you think not. There will be a cry, not among the unbelieving world. It will be a secret. But the believers who are looking for this, see? And he talked about the stars back there in 5 stars lineup. See, the stars coming in line? What did it produce? Just exactly like it did the first time. See, here we are, the signs of his coming. And the rapture says, lamp trimming time, behold the bridegroom coming. So at midnight was Revelation 10. It was at the end of the seventh age. So from verse 6 to verse 10 is this bride age after those seven church ages. When the bridegroom comes, when the midnight cry is given, when they begin to wake up, when they begin to go through that door into the rapture. When the foolish virgins looking, trying to find oil because they don't have. And after that was what? The tribulation period. So here Jesus in his parable in Matthew 25, he covers the entire ages of the church. From where they went out in the first age, looking for the bridegroom to come, until there was no more coming when that door swung shut. When that door swung shut, they went in, and there was no more could come in. Now, our last scripture will be Revelation 3, which would be that open door that he set. Because he told them of a door. You mean to say Jesus would preach about a door being open and a door being shut one day, and then when the time of it was to come, he didn't say? Watch that, you know. Jesus was speaking about the door. He said, the master will rise up and shut that door. Then Matthew 25, he showed where the door was shut. No man could have shut that door. Is he shut that door after the last one came in? When he shut that door, no, it was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that door, my friend, is going to be shut one of these days. I'll say it was already shut. But I want to show you, that door can't be shut before that name is fully revealed. And if that name has been fully revealed and has been declared and been manifested, then to those who have that revelation, they hold it sacred. Hallowed be thy name. They depart from iniquity. They live a separated life unto God. They bear that name. Amen. They show that restoration. Back what the early church had when they bear that name. Amen. It's written in their forehead. No man could deceive them. Because that name, my friend, is his word. Revelation 3. And that's why the same age. Wait, it says here. Let's take it, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. Notice that. He's telling them in that age now, I will set before your door, open door now. Didn't have it before. I'm going to set it for you now. And no man can shut that door. See? And no man can shut it. It's only he himself will shut it when the time comes. Because he set an open door because it was for them to enter in. And it was before them. It was not in that age now. That's when the gospel was in England. It was coming westward. It was still reformer age. See? It was coming westward. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And the first time in 1500 years, the name is mentioned again. First time in 1500 years. Because the dark ages, after they came out, in Luther time, he said, you have a name that you livest but was dead. And look at verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He was going to set before them an open door of his name coming back. You have time, I'll stop here at 6 o'clock. I took an extra half hour. But then he's telling them, no man's going to shut this. It's he himself, like in the days of Noah, he who shut that door when the last one came in. And friends, look.
The time when he shut that door was after that message announced his coming. The time when he ceased the calling was after that steward went out in the evening time. It is the same message. Can you see it was the same message? That same voice that said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," was the same voice that said, "You shall receive the same penny that the early ones received at evening time." See? The last hour of the day, the working day, then they come in the bridegroom, that was the messenger going to announce his coming. Is that right? And right there, he was telling them the door is going to be shut, but now reveals the time when he shuts the door. Then, as I'm saying, if Jesus knew the program and was unfolding it, then here, friends, what are we caught up in? The last call is being given. There's no more to be called. And the door is in this time. It was shut. Because that revelation, the rapture, started with the coming of the bridegroom. It ended with the wedding supper that they went in. In verse 6, he began to descend. In verse 10, he was in the wedding supper. We between verse 6 and verse 10. And because the last trump is the call to the wedding supper. The shout was to wake them up, to gather them together. Is that right? Yes. As I understand the message, I think I'm writing aloud the message. I think I'm saying what the message said. So I don't have the time to take it in and begin to go to Revelation 7 now. Now is the right time to go to Revelation 7 to show the two historical events that identify the 11th hour starting. He purposely stopped the war on the 11th hour. And what followed the stopping the war, he began to reveal the name back among the people. Then, what is that? All them, the whole world gathered to war again. The winds, he held it back, then it loosed back again. 21 years after. 1918, he held the winds. It couldn't blow on anything. The war stopped mysteriously. 1918. Then 1939, the winds was loose again. And World War II went forth. And he stopped it again. And when he stopped the war the first time, was to seal up the elected Pentecostals. Is that right? Then he stopped World War II. What for? To seal up the elect, because after World War II, he sent that prophet out. Is that right? And then from the time he sealed the bride, it goes over to the Jews, to seal up the Jews, 740,000. And then the winds let loose again for Armageddon, and that is the clearing of the whole earth for the millennium. But everything would have been sealed up. You watch and see. They all tense in a confrontation for war. But that is not the war that is going to destroy the interclear of the earth. No, sir. That is not it. People get all kind of worked up. That is not it at all. But many of those would be part of the drama. That final drama. But you see, not until after Moses and Elijah comes and slip 140,000. Then them winds let loose to clean off the earth. But that final battle is when he comes back. World War III is when he comes back with the same bride here. Revelation 19. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's the Bible. See, but what is bride here getting ready to go through that door? Going through that door? Being taken up? Because after that door was shut, the air on earth, the next door is open was in heaven. Amen. Watch and see. It shifts. Brother, may God help us to see that open door is that revealed word. The revelation opening up to bring you in, my brother. Oh, the greatest thing could have happened to us is revelation, friends. When we see and the Spirit begin to speak to you and quicken your heart and mind to see what God did in this generation, you could look beyond the cold, formal, dead churches. Just church membership, dead, no life inside of the air, going into politics and these things, and see a message getting the people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ to let you know his presence is among us. Amen. But a lamb trimming time is rapture time to be lifted off this earth. bringing you into a union with the bridegroom who is here, bringing you into a union with the Word, you and the Word uniting together. Oh my. Brother, what that ought to do to us, to see the time that we have come to. Oh my, it's wonderful. I believe it on my heart. Let's all stand up. Oh my, the calling and the sealing of the 11th hour Gentile workers. We can never finish it. More and more and more as we go on. You watch and see, but God have not deviated from that program. The name is now fully revealed here among the elect. And them nations that would have bring on Armageddon in the first age and destroy the whole earth. He stopped that war because really three wars is really one big war. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And friends, every time he let loose them winds, it serves his purpose. He stops it, he loses. He stops it, he loses it. Amen. He stirs up the heart of the king of Greece. Go and take Medo and Persia. He stirs up the heart of the Medo and Persia. Go and take Babylon. He stirs up the heart of different ones and brings on a conflict in the earth. Brings on the conditions. But while that's happening there, friend, you watch in the spiritual realm among the elect. But while that was happening there in the world stage and all them nations with the poison gas, did you notice in World War I it was poison gas? In World War II was the atomic bomb? Do you realize right now in this very war here that the rumors of wars and wars and all this political disturbance? First time since World War II, the whole world has gathered together for the past 40 years, standing there. Do you realize that what is happening there? They have the weapons combined of World War I and World War II in this situation. Did you see how them people look with their masks on these things? I had some things I preached. Some of you may not remember it. Why I quoted for you off of what they said in World War I. When World War I was going on, they loose the poison gas. And the first time that weapon was released in the earth, it was discovered to fight the war. It burned the grass, it burned the trees and these things. It's the same thing they're bringing a diluted form as weed killers and these things today. Same thing, same with Gramazone and all this. The same Agent Orange, and they want to burn up the defoliation plan for Vietnam, when they fight the Vietnam War. Burn up the grass and the earth and the trees, destroying the earth. Sure. And the same scientists who was working in germ warfare and poison gas, the same ones that they didn't give them no punishment after World War I. They used them in the industry to bring all kind of herbicides and pesticides and all these things. The same gas they used to kill all the people was the nerve gas was first invented for herbicides and pesticides and these things. And when that gas was loose, and they said the bombs exploded, them gas bombs, and the big gas cloud didn't go up. And then out of the gas clouds, you saw these men raising up with these hideous looking masks. One of the writers said, who was there on the battle, like the lid of hell was open up. Devils, it looked like devils, like hell. You see how the time back is going to have it there? Read back another fifth trumpet, and so it says, a great smoke came out of a pit, and like locusts and these things began to come out. Stingers in the tail and these things. Political disturbance in the earth. Hideous. Wonder what John would have said 2,000 years ago when he saw that a man dressed like that out in the desert somewhere moving troops, hundreds of thousands of troops in them place. It wasn't invented back then. You can see what it was. The terror of poison gas. See? It's all poison set. But there's one still has control over it. But watch. Among the elect, something is happening. The rapture is a revelation only for the Father's spiritual genes. This great seventh seal catching the bride away. Don't miss it, friends. As we come tonight to this table to remember him, let the grace of God just so fill your heart. To think This world could blow to pieces if it's not for the grace of God. But not one atom bomb is going to strike this earth until this bride goes. So you can look at those things and relax, my friend. That don't get you worked up because you know you have a promise. Elijah was sent to gather the bride and turn her heart back. Seal her up. Give her the same penny. See? That she can be taken off, enter through that door and leave before he burned the earth as an orphan with the atomic bomb. You will be taken off first. If you don't cut the day short, no flesh would have been saved. Look at the madman out there. But thank God for his mercy. Look back in this country, where could have been? But God said, no, not my little bride. They're going to affect her. I've been brooding upon them churches, They're trying to disturb me and hinder me from my work. But when I'm finished, they're going to be a masterpiece. They will build back in the very image, in speaking conditions. Amen. Nothing, no destruction can come until they are finished. Amen. Oh, what a time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Yes, Father. Oh, God, it's so wonderful to be in your presence. We can just go on talking about it because it comes so rich and real in our hearts. It swells up on the inside and overflows. Oh, God, I pray it becomes so real to everyone standing here. We just bow down in their hearts. Dear God, we so fill them with faith. We call the rise into the litmus of the hour. We let them see the plainness of the word, the reality of the promise, how faithful and true God is, how you have kept your promise, how you are working to the letter to get your bride ready this hour. Oh, what have we to dread and what have we to fear? We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Blessed Jesus, I pray tonight, Father, Lord God, as we stand here under the auspices of your Holy Spirit, under the voice of your word, Lord, I pray that our minds, Lord, would be so illuminated, so filled with the light of the divine revelation of your truth. Lord Jesus, just let it be down, tend upon the inside, Lord, conquer the soul. Lord God, where this heart is not filled with your presence, where lamps are not filled with your oil, oh God, Lord, pour out your spirit. Move into those hearts, Lord. Let it be an urgency setting, a desperation, a hunger, a thirst. Oh my God. May the Spirit of God so quicken them, Lord, that they can look and they can see the reality of these things. Oh God, even as we prepare our hearts now to change the order of the service, get ready to come to your table. We thank you, Father, for a table that prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, and one who has anointed our head with oil, and our cup run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, for we will dwell in the house of the Lord, that mighty tower, the name of the Lord, which you have entered into and are now safe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Oh, God, brood upon us, Lord. Fill every heart in your presence now. Draw close, overshadow us, surround us. Lift us up, Lord. Oh, God, we'll be so... Be your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Glory and praise be unto your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prepare every heart, Lord. Get ready to come to your table. Let your presence draw nigh now. Even closer than what you have been in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Remain in his presence attentively. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body,
which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we were judge of ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. We made our head bow and our eye closed in obedience to God's holy word. Not for yourself, but for one another. May we tarry for one another this time. Seeing where his word have placed us. Seeing where we are standing. Seeing the lateness of the hour. We stand here to remember him, who is the author and the finisher of all things. Dying Lamb of God. Oh God, you who were slain. You who laid on your life freely and shed your blood. Had your bodies been broken, the price of our redemption could be paid. You who rose. Lord God, give us this memorial feast. You will remember what you did for us in Calvary. We'll have this true love, one for the other. We truly, Lord, would carry out your word. Holy hands and pure hearts in this hour. Thy presence we come, Father. So thankful to see you for the grace which you have given unto us. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to these most sacred moments where, Lord, we hold in our hearts this bread unleavened, representing your precious body without sin. Even the egg, God, that you must break it. Your body was broken. The symbol. But I pray you would sanctify for the purpose of your soul. And the wine, Lord, that is be used even in this feast. God, knowing it was the blood of that grape which had to be crushed. Release the juice. Oh God. Now, being made wine to represent your blood, Father. Wine without power. Your blood had power to remit our guilty stains. So we ask, you would sanctify this wine for the purpose which you were intended. Father, our hearts, you would cleanse it, their hands. Take these articles, to receive it, to partake of it. The We will do it, Lord, with a holy remembrance of what you did for us. May Lord God, as we partake of this supper this evening, take our hearts, our souls, our minds to such a realm where truly, Lord, we find ourselves coming into a closer fellowship, deeper experience, greater reality, Lord, with you. And your life is so lived out in and through us. You have influence in your kingdom in this hour. Bless everyone that would come to your table. May your holy presence so surround everyone that would come. If there might be one that is sick in the body, one that is feeble, God, they would find healing. They would find deliverance. They would receive strength for the journey that lays ahead. Even like those who kept that first Passover funk, Lord. May you grant these things, we pray. For we ask it in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made this possible for us.